do a work through your heart in your life this morning through His Word, that your heart would be worshipful to our great Savior. Have you ever heard someone say, well, that was a foolish decision? Right? You ever said that to someone? Well, that was a foolish decision. Why'd you do that? Or, wow, man, that was wise. How'd you think of that? Well, as we think of the children of Israel and some of the things that they were going through, there were times that they would make foolish decisions and times that they would make wise decisions. Anybody, anyone big enough to say, I've made a foolish decision before? Okay, right? That's all of us, right? We've all made foolish decisions at times. How many of you enjoy making those foolish decisions? Oh, no, yeah. Bev's like, no, not me. Sometimes at the time it's fun, right? I mean, man, that felt good. But then at the end it's like, man, I didn't want to pay for that. Whatever that foolish decision may be in life. And we all make those. And sometimes they're just small practical things. And you thought you could make it far enough to the gas station and you just couldn't make it. You thought different things in life and you just don't make it. And it's just like, I thought I could do it, but that wasn't a wise decision. It was foolish. Planning ahead. And we talked a little bit last week about planning ahead and thinking through some of those aspects of life. We need to have God's wisdom as we go through life. We all have decisions to make. Sometimes those decisions are smaller than others. Sometimes they're life-changing decisions, life-altering decisions. I'm standing at a fork, and I can choose this way or that. Either way will change my life forever. And those big decisions, we want God's will. We want to know what God has for us. But in the smaller decisions, we want God's wisdom as we choose and make choices to go through life. Because we'll have God's positive consequences, or we'll have the negative consequences of foolish decisions as we go through life. We talked a little about that in Proverbs this morning. Many of you are familiar with that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not what? Wise in thine own eyes. And man, sometimes things look good. You ever tried to clean a window in a garage in your car? You know, you clean your the front windshield of your car in the garage. Man, it looks good. And then you drive out in the sun. It's like, where did all those smudges and smears come from? God doesn't want us to be wise in our own way, but to truly see what His Word says and to have His wisdom. How many of you want God's wisdom this week as you go through life? Well, there's some ways that we need to do, some things that we need to do so that, one, like we talked last week, we can plan ahead and have God's wisdom for life. Before we get into His Word, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. God, all of us want your wisdom. God, we don't want to go through this week and make foolish decisions and choices, no matter how big or how small they may be. God, we want to make your choices. We want your wisdom. So I pray that you would speak to us as we look into your word, that you would make a difference in our lives today. And it truly is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Joshua chapter 9, we come to the children of Israel have defeated Ai. God gave them victory. They worked through them. God gave them victory. But now in chapter 9, there are people around them in the land of Canaan that are scared. They're afraid for their lives because they see what God has done. They see the victory that was brought in Jericho. They see the victory that was brought in Ai. And so some of them, we look in verse 1, some of them make a pact together. They join hands. They link arms with each other to fight against a common cause. They may all have been enemies at times and had their little skirmishes and other problems between them. But here they determine it is time to join hands so we can defeat this people who's coming in to take our land. Chapter 9, verse 1, and it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. They joined arms to fight together. Verse 3, And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily. They were wily, like Wile E. Coyote, right? And Roadrunner, and trying to work your own way in their plan. And they say, hey, we can trick them. We got them. Yesterday was April. Okay, yesterday was April Fool's Day. Maybe you teased someone, or you got someone, or whatever it was. Well, this wasn't April Fool's Day. This was a day they were just saying, we got to fool them, because we're not big enough. Maybe they, for whatever reason, weren't big enough to join with those other nations. They didn't have a king to lead them in that way. But they said, we are going to fool the children of Israel. And so they made a plan of how they could do that and trick them and go through that process. Well, as we look at this chapter, there's some truths we can aspects. Practical truths for foolishness. Now, I don't want to make foolish choices, but here are just some practical truths about foolishness, because it's easy. We've all admitted it's easy to make foolish choices. Number one, it's easy to be deceived. Is it easy to be deceived? Yeah. Now, I could tell you this wall was red and you wouldn't believe me. Maybe if we got enough people to come in here and explain why this is red and the scientific change of why we're doing this now, I mean, you might be able to be convinced enough. But that would be pretty hard, because that in your mind, you learn color. You don't remember not knowing colors, do you? And we can go through different things. I could deceive you in some way, though. On Sunday evenings, we're studying the book of 1 John. And as we're studying, John is telling us that we can deceive ourselves into thinking we're pretty good. We're reminded in Matthew that it's easier to see, basically, it's easier to see a toothpick in someone's eye than to see the telephone beam pulling out of my own. Because we deceive ourselves. We think we're better than we are. Have you ever thought you're better than you were? You thought you did a good job fixing your hair, maybe men, right? You thought you did a good job taking care of your hair that day, and then you looked in the mirror and it's like, whoa, that wasn't like I was thinking. Now, some of you have the nice hairdo where you just one hand does it all, and it's good. But we look in a mirror and it's like, whoa, a mirror isn't deceitful unless you go to a house of mirrors. Have you ever been there? And it's like, man, that makes me look muscular. Like, I like that mirror. I got to get that one, or whatever it may be in life. There are different things. I was at a store a week or so ago, and I saw a mirror, and they had it at an angle. It was one of the, I think it was Macy's, somewhere we were at a nice department store. And in the bathroom, they had the mirror at an angle. And I thought, that makes me look smaller than I really am. And I thought, there's a reason to that. And so it's easy to be deceived. Practical truths for foolishness. Number one, it is easy to be deceived. Number two, it is easy to proceed on my own wisdom. It is easy to proceed on my own wisdom. I can look through life and I can say, that looks smart. But do I stop and think about it? It's easy to proceed on my own wisdom. I think it's right. I'm just going to do what comes naturally. This seems like the right choice to make. So number one, it's easy to be what? Everybody, it's easy to be. And number two, it is easy to proceed on my own wisdom. And I don't want to do that. And number three, it is easy to bring devastating consequences. Not that we want devastating consequences, but that's the easiest thing in life. If I do nothing, generally I'll bring some devastating consequences. Think about even the parable with the talent in the New Testament. The master goes away and gives one and three and five talents, and what are they supposed to do? And they come back, and two of them have them doubled, and the other said, I buried it because I know what kind of a man you are. Well, wait a second here. That ended up thinking it was the wise thing because he didn't know how to invest or whatever it was going to be, and it ended up bringing him devastating consequences. And as I go through life, if I do nothing, the Bible says, first of all, if I don't accept Jesus as Savior, I am rejecting Him. Very plain and clear in John chapter 3. If I do nothing about Christ, the song we sang this morning, Almost Persuaded, I do nothing, it brings devastating consequences. Eternal death in hell. If I do nothing about some decisions, they still will come and the consequences may come. So number one, it is easy to be deceived. Number two, it is easy to proceed on my own wisdom. And number three, it is easy to bring devastating consequences. How many of you want to make those foolish choices? I don't. But we still often do, don't we? That was dumb. What was I thinking? Why did I allow that? Why did I say that? But you and I, as we go through life, we want to make wise choices. And so this morning, as we look at chapter 9, I want us to look at principles for wise choices, principles for wisdom. Not how to be foolish. We all know how to do that. And in chapter 9, we see a foolish decision that was made, when then in reality, they could have had God's blessing and made wise choice in life. We looked at verses 1 and 2, and we saw that there were some that gathered themselves together to fight. In verse 3, we saw that the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai. They did work wilily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all bread of their provision was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country, now therefore make ye a league with us." So they ended up trying to deceive them. And there were reasons for this. They cared about their own safety. They thought this would help save their life. And it actually did. If you and I are going to make wise decisions, number one, we need to remember it takes work to determine the truth. It takes work to determine the truth. Here's this group of people who come up and they're deceiving. Is Joshua and the men had never met these people before. Many times we believe someone, don't we? In fact, we hope, love hopeth all things, and we try to believe people until they show us that we can't believe them. And there are people that you say, "Well, I just don't believe you anymore." But here's this. They're like, "Okay, so we're going to act like we've traveled a long ways." Kind of like getting your old work pants and your old work shoes and your old work shirt and working around the house and then going out to the store. Right, men? "I don't care. I'm just going." Well, their perspective wasn't just, "I'm wearing it." We are going to do this to be deceptive, to show them that we are actually from a faraway place, so they get this league with us, and then they realize we're their neighbors. It takes work to determine the truth. And one of the lessons that we can see from this, really as we learn from the heathen aspect of this, from the heathen, some of them, they worked together for the same cause. We saw that in verses 1. Some of them worked together for the same cause. Now, it's interesting to see that not all of them worked together for the same cause. There was the Gibeonites here. They were different. But many of them worked together. Amos 3:3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" They were agreed in this process. It takes truth, or it takes work to determine the truth. As believers, there are things we can do together as a local church, with other like-minded churches, but there are other religious bodies that we just can't collaborate with. God's word has meaning. Again, Amos 3:3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" There is truth, and there is error in our world. And we can stand up for that truth, and there are times we can do that together. But we need to be very careful as a church family how we do some of those things, and who we're able to link up with. Because we want to stand for the truth. God's word is truth, John 17:17 reminds us. It's good to think and plan ahead. We talked a little bit about that last week. But some of them, they joined forces and they worked together so that they could defeat the children of Israel. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. We see this idea of working together. There was some strife and struggle going on. "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos." And so Paul's saying here, verse 4, "For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos?" Paul himself is saying, who is Paul? but ministers by whom ye believed, even as to the Lord gave to every man. So they worked together, he's saying. We worked together. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. There's a partnership here. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. As they worked together for the truth's sake, to spread the gospel, there are things that we can work together for in life and join forces for God. BLC, it takes workers on Wednesday night. We're thankful for our workers. Sunday school, our van ministry. We think of all of our other ministries that takes workers. Nursery, there are little kids downstairs that are allowing some of you to be part of the service, as opposed to having to focus on the kid, your child, and get nothing out of it. I understand what that's like. Aren't you thankful for our nursery workers? And maybe there's one of these areas that God would want you to join partnership with so that we can serve and help do the work of the ministry here at church. These heathen did that, not for the work of the ministry, but to save their own lives. Though they didn't do it with everyone. Some of them did it together. It takes work to determine the truth. These heathen determined the truth that, hey, this is a foe, we're going to have problems, so let's work together. As believers, we know the truth that the devil wants to destroy lives. The devil wants to destroy our lives. If you're we work together for the truth's sake, so that God would work in each of our hearts and our lives and make a difference. It's good to think and to plan ahead, as some of them did, to gathering together. But some of them planned ahead to deceive so that they could make a truce or a league. Proverbs 11 verse 18 says, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. Man, they just did this for their own good and benefit. Is that how we live in life? That is, one, it's easy to be deceived, but it's easy to try to deceive other people. And if I do that, I'm making foolish choices. Really, the Gibeonites were making a foolish choice. And in their mind, it was, hey, maybe we can save our lives. And in one sense, then it did work. Through the foolish choice of the children of Israel, they were able to keep their lives. But deception is wrong. It says again in the second part of verse 18 of Proverbs 11, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. You reap what you sow. And so here the Gibeonites are trying to deceive, and it worked. But as we think about that, it takes work to determine the truth. Who needed to work to determine the truth? The Gibeonites didn't. They already knew the truth. The Amorites, the Perizzites, and all these other ites didn't need to, because they knew the truth. But the children of Israel, they had been going strong. They had a great victory in Jericho. Then they had a pretty disturbing defeat in Ai, didn't they? And then they had great victory in Ai. And here we come in. Man, we're just on a roll. Not really. Victory, defeat, victory. Here's another defeat. As they're making a foolish choice. So as we think about that, again, it takes work to determine the truth. The heathen determined the truth, but the children of Israel needed to determine the truth. Verse 8. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? So he's asking questions. He's taking some work to do the truth and determine the truth. And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. There's partial truth in that statement that they made, isn't there? They came because they heard of the Lord their God and all that he did. But they weren't from a faraway place. The easiest way to deceive someone is to mix lies with truth, isn't it? For me to try to convince you that this wall is red is completely different than for me to try to convince you it's yellow. Some of you may say, well, that's cream. No, that's eggshell. or whatever. I mean, you could name, that's antique white. I mean, we could go through this, but I could convince you from some state. I mean, whatever. And so it's easier to help someone be deceived by mixing the lie with a little bit of truth. And that's what the Gibeonites are doing here. The world around us is full of lies. In fact, Jesus reminded, challenged them in Matthew, "Ye're of your father the devil, who speaks lies." And the world is full of lies. We have to determine what is true in the world and what is not. Whether it's on the spiritual level or even on other aspects of life, what is true? And that's what the children of Israel are struggling with. We need to remember to study out the questions we have in our minds. God gives us a mind for a reason. We think through stuff. You remember being in school? Some of you are still in school, right? And it's exciting. And maybe you've got a test this week you get to study for and go through that aspect. But as we go through life, we study out things. We learn about things by studying them. I had to try to figure out how to change the headlight in our vehicle. Well, I thought you just pop the hood and pop out a couple screws because that's what I've always done. I took out a screw and it's still tight. Wiggles a little bit. I looked and I searched and I looked and I couldn't find it. So I looked on the internet to try to do some studying and I found out the best way to do it is to take the wheel well cover off. To change my headlight. I mean, whoa. So I needed to study. Now, it's an easy task, but I needed to study to figure out how to do it. And as we go through life, there are things we need to just study to figure out. The children of Israel had some questions. Verse 9, they said to him, "We're from a far country." Verse 10, "And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, and to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and saying to them, We are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth." Look, I mean, sure, at one point they took the bread out of the oven hot, but it wasn't the day they came forth to go unto you. "But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these are garments, and our shoes are become old by reason of that very long journey." It's interesting as we think through some of that. Of course, their stuff they're saying was old from their journey. Interesting to see how God kept the children of Israel's shoes through their days of wandering. And their clothes. Just interesting to just kind of compare some of that back and forth. Granted, they didn't travel that long of a distance, but they know when you travel, your stuff wears out. That could have been a reminder even to Joshua. Look what God did for us in the past. He just kept us and kept our stuff. Verse 14, "And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace." He's questioning them. So they're telling them this stuff. And then he says, "So who are you? Where are you from?" And then they explain. So he asks a question, but he doesn't dig deeper. And sometimes we ask surface questions just to know enough so that we can proceed. Or sometimes we look for an answer because we know that's what we want to hear. And how is that going to happen? We need to study out the questions we have in your mind. It takes work to determine the truth. But truth will help us to make wise choices. And if Joshua had continued on this questioning process and continued working through these things in his mind instead of saying, "Oh, okay, I see that," something could have happened. They could have made a wise choice. Because again, we see verse 14. "And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord." It takes work to determine the truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. What? Study. We all have the truth in front of us. John 17, "Thy word is truth." You have it. What a shame we often don't study it. Not just that cursory reading in the morning. Not just, "I got it through, that was good." But revolving it around in our mind like we do when we worry. Meditating on God's word. Joshua 1:8, one of our memory verses. "This book of the law shall not depart." But often it does. Studying God's word. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." How are you and I studying God's word? We have the truth.
But it does take work to determine the truth. Not work to know what God says, but work to have that relationship with God. It takes work for us to have a relationship with anybody. And as we have a relationship with God, God's right there and says, I want that relationship with you. Jesus, to the churches, in Revelation, to the church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I don't believe that's speaking to the unsaved, but man, to the believers who aren't in fellowship with God, it takes work to know the truth and to have fellowship with God. So number one, it takes work to determine the truth. Number two, it takes work to seek wise counsel. Remember we said in making a foolish decision, it is easy to proceed on my own wisdom. And we've seen that in life as we've gone through life and made decisions on our own. But the reality is it takes work to seek wise counsel. The children of Israel, they didn't ask God counsel. That was so easy. But they didn't do it. And sometimes I know in my own life, it's so easy to look to God and say, God, would you help me? Would you help me make a wise decision here? And not to sit quietly for God to speak to me through His Word. Not to take time before I make these decisions and go through life. I remember even when I was praying about, where God, do you want me to go to Bible college? For me, that was a pretty big decision. Yes, life-altering to a degree, but I was convinced God had called me to be a pastor. So in that sense, it wasn't going to change that. I believed God wanted me to go to Northland Baptist Bible College, but then I really got thinking, have I really asked God? And so I took some time and I prayed and I waited as I continued walking in God's Word and let Him work through His Word in my heart. I didn't just rashly pray, okay, nope, that was the sign I was looking for. The Bible said, go here. I mean, I can't open the Bible and say, okay, that means to go east. Sometimes we do those. We just try to make up whatever to justify what we're going to do. It takes work to seek wise counsel. Ask God for wisdom when you aren't sure. Ask God for wisdom when you aren't sure. We all need wisdom every day. A passage that makes me think of right away is, of course, Proverbs 3:5. We looked at that earlier. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes. Depart from evil. Seeking God. But James chapter 1, turn there with me if you will. James chapter 1. And here we see the idea of wisdom. We're reminded that wisdom that comes from above is good and better for us than earthly wisdom. But in James chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So he's writing to this group of believers, specifically Israelites, Jews. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with a wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Many times as we look at that passage, we look at verse 5 through 8. And we look at those and say, okay, we need God's wisdom. But we need God's wisdom as we go through divers temptations or trials of life. And how do I proceed? And what am I going to do? And what's wise? Seeking God for wisdom. Asking God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, or he doesn't hold it, but he wants us to know his wisdom. You ever had a boss that you worked for and they tell you to do some stuff, but he doesn't ever tell you how? Or he doesn't ever demand of exactly what he's looking for? Or maybe parents or other authorities and you never know quite what they're expecting. Well, God tells us he expects us to make wise choices. But then he says, but I'm wanting to help you make wise choices. Am I going to listen? It takes work to seek wise counsel. Ask God for that wisdom. Proverbs 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. It's not just asking God for wisdom and wise counsel, but I believe God puts wise counselors in our lives. And it's interesting as we look at this passage in Joshua chapter 9, it wasn't simply Joshua. In Joshua chapter 9, We see Joshua and the leaders. Verse 15, and Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Joshua had some counselors with him. And these princes of the congregation were there to help leaders in the leadership aspect. This morning in the auditorium Sunday school classes, we were talking about Saul and his first becoming king. There were men whose God touched their hearts and they followed Saul after he was anointed. God gives us wise counselors in our life. Can you think of some wise counselors in your life? First of all, it's God. But are there other people that God has put in your life to help you make wise decisions? If you're married, first off, it's your spouse. If you're still living at home and you're a teenager or younger, it's your parents. God gave us others in our lives to help us make wise decisions. But then there's others involved in that, other spiritual leaders in our lives. Maybe it's a Sunday school class teacher. Maybe it's the pastor. Maybe it's other spiritual leaders God has used in our lives in the past to help us make wise decisions as we think through things. Because sometimes our thinking is muddy. You ever seen a little pond or a puddle that looked pretty clear and then you started stirring up the bottom? It gets muddied. And sometimes in life, as we're going through those divers, temptations, trials, struggles, other things, what's the truth? And we need people to help us see clearly. We need God to clear our minds so we can make those wise decisions. Well, Joshua needed that help from God, but he didn't ask. Joshua had help from the other leaders, but they didn't say anything. In fact, they agreed to it. Were there none that said, hey, wait a second? Because think about in Joshua's own life. 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad in. And Joshua was one of those two. Did Joshua make a wise choice then? Remember, the 10 bad said, we can't go into the land. We can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb said, but God has given us the victory. But the people believed the 10. Joshua had made a wise choice. Later, when Joshua was sending spies to go in to Jericho to check out the city, he only sent 2. Maybe that was because he knew 10 were bad and 2 were good. But he only sent 2 in. And they came back with the truth and said, God has done this. Joshua has made wise choices. But there was a lapse in judgment here. We can all make wise choices and have a lapse in judgment. And that lapse can be lifelong devastating. And we see that happens to the children of Israel here. He had made wise choices, but now this affected the children of Israel. It wasn't just a 2-week thing and it was over. David, even with his sin with Bathsheba, and he was a man after God's own heart, and he sinned with Bathsheba, had a baby, the baby died, and just so many other things during that time. But they worked through it and got over it. Well, this is a lifelong process here. This foolish choice had long-lasting consequences. And as I make a wise choice or a foolish choice, it can often have lifelong consequences. So how are you making? One, it takes work to determine the truth. Number two, it takes work to seek wise counsel from God and from others around us. Don't rush into your decision. Wait on the Lord, and He shall strengthen thine heart. And God wants to give us that wisdom. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I don't have to rush through things in life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It takes time for that. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We don't have to rush into decisions. Now, there are some times that decisions have to be made pretty quickly. And sometimes I don't like making those decisions. Maybe if I stretch this out a little bit longer, I'll see another aspect. Or maybe I'll find that product for $1.50 cheaper. Or, I mean, whatever. I mean, sometimes we go through. That's my thinking process. I for some of those things, the Lord provided us a washer and a dryer. And we were thankful for that and excited about that. But me in this process, I'm like, but let's look here and let's go here and let's go there. And wait a second. that's not always the wisest thing to do. And it's just so neat to see wise counsel that God puts in our lives and helps us to think through some of those, whether it be practical things. Wait a second. Do you have to search that far and wide? And isn't it neat to see what God has done? And I'm thankful for Karen and challenging me. And we had to go to Grand Rapids and had a doctor's appointment there. And so we were going to look in Lansing for a washer and dryer. And I thought, well, we can just look. And Karen says, well, why don't we bring the trailer? And in my mind, I'm like, why do we bring the trailer? But yet, as much as I didn't feel like it, I realized there's some wisdom in that. And God allowed us to get a washer and a dryer that day. And sometimes we just, some of those practical things, we just need help making. Some decisions you can make. Some take a little bit longer to work through and decide through. What are we doing? As a church family, didn't it take us time to determine from both you as a church family and us as our family, is God leading in this to bring us all together? We didn't want to rush into it. In fact, I remember saying back in the early spring, probably about a year ago now, wherever God leads us, I want it to be a slow process. Because I want to make sure that God's in this. Because this is a life-altering decision. Not simply for the swearing of family, but for whatever church it would have been. Praise God, it's Jeruel. But not just for, that's a life-altering decision. And I've seen too many decisions that have been rushed through with pastor search and either for the church family or the pastor's family, it was a rough thing, and a year later, they're gone. Some decisions, we wait. We don't have to rush through. We want to seek wise counsel. Big, life-altering decisions. But other decisions that are not as big, we still want to make wise choices. And so here, it takes work to seek wise counsel. It's a lot easier just to do it my own way. Remember we had said, if I'm going to make foolish decisions, it's easy to be deceived. It takes work to seek the truth. It's easy to proceed on my own wisdom. It takes work to seek wise counsel. It's easy to bring devastating consequences on my life. It takes work to stay away from negative consequences. Because the negative consequences or the bad consequences are a lot easier to come than positive ones. Because me just not saying anything can lead to negative consequences for my life or others around me. And the children of Israel, it took work to stay away from negative consequences. And sadly, in this situation, they didn't. They did a little bit of their work and a little bit of homework, but then they just said, okay, here we go. Verse 17. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. That's not very far away. They came to their city on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Shephiah and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And what happens at the end of verse 18? All the children of Israel, or all the congregation, what did they do? Murmured. They complained. What were you thinking? You ever had someone say that to you? Maybe it was as a kid. What were you thinking? Nothing. Right? I mean, you ever say that to your kids? You weren't thinking anything, were you? I mean, we look through that, and sometimes that's how we go. Well, the children of Israel, they're complaining. What were you guys thinking? There are negative consequences here. And decisions that you and I make, if we make foolish decisions, there are negative consequences. It takes work to stay away from negative consequences. We need to trust God and keep our commitments, even if they weren't the wisest decisions to make. Maybe I should have said no. You ever struggle saying no? Right? I mean, someone asks you to serve. Granted, and I'm saying this very carefully, we want you to serve at church. But you ever been asked, you're serving here, 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 and here, and someone comes and says, can you serve here? Sometimes you just have to say, no, I can't do that. I'm serving here, and that's going to be too much. And so there's points where we have to say no, but that can be hard. A lot of times, for some of us, it's easier to say, no, I'm just not going to do it. But for those who, man, I want to serve and I'll do this and that and the other, and we can stretch ourselves so thin. If you've said yes, at least keep that somewhat. And that's tough. Trust God and keep your commitments, even if they weren't the wisest thing to make, the wisest choice to make. Children of Israel, man, it wasn't just a, I've got to serve an extra couple Sundays because I'd said I'd do this. Children of Israel, man, they didn't destroy these people's lives. Isn't that what happened in Jericho? God called them to conquer the land. And you can say, well, man, how would God want people to kill others? There were consequences for their sin in these other nations. And God used them to judge these nations. God often used other nations to judge the children of Israel. But God used them. And their lives should have been destroyed, but they made this commitment. And they said, we've made this commitment before whom? God. Because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Wow. God wants us to keep our word. And it's important. Verse 20, this will we do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us, because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have ye beguiled us, or deceived us in a very deceptive, wicked way, saying, we are very far from you when ye dwell among us. Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land. So these people are saying, we didn't want to die. We knew that's what God had commanded. Verse 25, and now behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee, do unto us. Do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. Trust God to work in spite of your foolish choices. We all admit we've made foolish decisions or choices. How many of you could say, sadly, honestly could say, in 2017 I've already made at least one foolish decision? Right? Wow. Aren't you thankful that God wants to work in spite of those? God wants to work in my heart in spite of those. Change me, make me what he wants me to be. That God can work in my circumstances in spite of those. In spite of the children of Israel choosing to reject God and wanting a king named Saul, God works through that. And instead of the foolish things that sometimes we make, God wants to work through our lives and in our situations. Romans 8, all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose, to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And what is that purpose of God? The next couple of verses say that we would be conformed into his image. God wants to use your foolish decisions that you've made or that you make to help conform you into the image of Christ. Not that he wants you to make those foolish decisions, but that you and I would take those and say, God, I need you. Would you help change me? Would you help change my thinking so I can make wise decisions? God, would you work in these circumstances in spite of everything I've done? In spite of me royally messing up? My foolish decisions do have consequences. Sometimes those consequences can't be changed. But God can still work, and he can be glorified. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Trust God to work in spite of our own foolish decisions. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee, God says. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Doesn't that sound like something God reminds Joshua again and again? This is Isaiah he's reminding. He says, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, he's promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You've made some foolish decisions. Get it right with God. It doesn't mean the consequences will go away. But God can work in spite of those when we admit those. You want to make wise decisions? We need to remember it takes work to determine the truth. It takes work to seek wise counsel. It takes work to stay away from negative consequences because it's easy to be deceived. It's easy to proceed on my own wisdom, and I don't want to do that. It's easy to bring devastating consequences. You want to make a wise decision this week, anybody? I do.